You're listening to KSKQ LP 94.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Now join us for a shared journey.
Time will keep on moving from one season to the next. Time will keep on moving in the way it knows best.
Welcome to A Shared Journey with Malaya and friends, where we will explore the journey of returning to wholeness.
You're listening to KSKQ LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. This is A Shared Journey with Malaya and friends, and thank you for joining us, Malaya.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Jerry, and
yay.
Remind folks, they're listening on KSKQ 94.9 FM. You can call in to the studio. Our lines are open for the next hour, 541-482-3999. And you say today's show will be returning to wholeness.
Right.
That's the theme.
Right.
Wonderful.
So for the introduction of the show, I say that we will be exploring the journey of returning to wholeness. So I thought today we'd talk a little bit about what that means to me, what that experience has felt like for me. First of all, I just want to say that it's been an ongoing process for me. It's not a one-time awakening. It's an ongoing process, and I really there are people who have had that one-time awakening, and I'm so glad that they have been here. One of those people that has been influential for me is Eckhart Tolle, and I'm so glad that he did have that experience of awakening. It seemed like he pretty much just popped out of that bubble, and there he was, you know. And his teachings have really helped me to come into the moment and to be to return to wholeness. And I have my own, you know, process, and it's been kind of a slow but continuous process of clearing a pathway over time so that love can reach me wherever I am and heal the places that I felt scared and alone in this world. And so a big part of that journey for me, an integral part of it, has been healing childhood wounds and freeing myself from some of the limiting beliefs that I took on as a child. And I think all of us, whether they're huge traumas or small or whatever, you know, everyone, you don't get through childhood without some sort of hurt. Yes, yeah, without a few wounds. And so for me, a very beautiful part of being a woman, of being a grown-up, has been to really kind of reparent myself. And to, you know, those places that felt, those parts of myself that felt unwelcome or misunderstood or judged. And, you know, the best parents in the world you know, kids are going to pick up these things. You know, you're not always 100% open. And it's just impossible. You know, you have your own things going on, and sometimes you just don't have the time or the space to listen to what the, where the child is at. And sometimes that becomes a wound for them, you know.
Let's not forget about sibling. Right. You have to compete a big little bit for the attention.
Right.
If you have other brothers and sisters.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there's just so much in relationship dynamics that go on through our childhood. And we're all bound to get our feelings hurt, you know, somewhere along the way. And so part of the experience for me has been going back to those places that are hurt. And sometimes when a trauma is pretty severe, it almost feels to me like that part of myself gets frozen in time. Like, it just tightens up, you know? And it's just like in this fear, you know, it goes into this protective fear mode. You know, the pain of whatever that trauma is there, but also what's trapped in that is also our aliveness. Mm-hmm. And so by going back in and being with those parts of ourselves that got hurt and felt misunderstood or experienced severe loss in our life, by going back and being with those parts and listening to their feelings, you know, and actually just being there and bringing love there, that... It frees up that that child essence that is within all of us, that is really within all of us. It's not like, you know, you're a child and then you're an adult and that, you know, they don't have anything to do with each other or something. So do you want to say something?
Yeah. Basically, you're saying that, you know, this is about integration, about going in and finding parts of yourself that were kind of split off or left to the side somewhere, you know, or
hiding. Because this is a scary world, sometimes it feels like.
And then opening up a dialogue with them to see what their needs are, what they're wanting, and then to be with them.
Yeah.
And then integrate them into you.
Right.
That's the wholeness you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll actually later on in the show, I will actually read a little journaling dialogue that I had with some of those parts of myself that were a little bit scared about new things. But one of the things that over time that I've realized is that that you don't need to figure it all out. You know, there's really nothing you need to fix. You don't need to understand every little nook and cranny about why you're feeling hurt or why you're feeling scared or why somebody did this or did that or whatever, you know, why, you know, when you were a kid they said this to you or whatever it is that hurts you or why you lost someone you loved. You know, there is, that's a challenging question to answer. And so to realize that really what the main thing is, that just to be there with that part, the part that's hurt, and bring love there, to experience love. And so I was going to sing a little a cappella song that basically... Actually, how the song came through is that I asked that question. You know, I was going through some tough places and like, you know, how do I deal with this, right? And my inner voice said, just bring love there. You know, that's all you need to do. And so this song is called Bring Love There, and here it is. Bring love there to the places that are frightened. Bring love there to the places that are lost. Bring love there to the places that feel all alone, far away from home. from far away, love will comfort you and bring you gently home. All along the way, love is within you, and we are letting go in the arms of love. Bring love there to the places that are angry. Bring love there to the places that are sad. Bring love there to the places that feel all alone, far away from home. From far away, love will comfort you and bring you gently home. Along the way, love is within you, and we are letting go in the arms of love. And we are letting go in the arms of love.
Nice. Very nice.
So that kind of simplifies the healing process, you know?
Right.
When you realize that that really any place where love isn't, you feel all alone. You feel
right.
alone, right? And when love is there, you feel home. And it doesn't matter, you know, where what country you're in or what, you know,
right.
what home physically you're in, where you are, when you feel love, it's you relax, you know,
uh-huh.
and so that's part of what I've learned through my healing process, is that really just being there and listening to the feelings, and that is really the most loving thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, don't we just want to be heard?
Right.
You know,
right.
we want to be listened to. And sometimes I think that's one of the things when we're kids, when you have there's other siblings, especially,
mm-hmm.
or you know, your parents work, or they're you know, they have other things going on. You know, there's not always that time to listen to what's going on for your child, what, you know, what went on for their day that was exciting or painful or traumatizing or, you know, just so totally joyful
mm-hmm.
that they just have to share
All
with
right.
somebody, right? And so we can go back and say, well, you know, I can take the time now. I know, you know, maybe not everything you wanted to share when you were a kid
mm-hmm.
got listened to, but we can listen to ourselves.
Right.
And in that same way, listen to ourselves right. in this moment, you know, when something happens and we get our feelings hurt, rather than going, you know, kind of pushing it away, like, go, you know, just being a grown up and, you know, I'm not supposed to have any feelings or whatever.
Uh-huh.
We tell ourselves, especially when we're parents, you know, and we think, oh, can't let our kids see us upset or whatever.
Ooh, yeah.
And yet, you know, getting upset and having, getting our feelings hurt is just a natural part of life. And it's how we work with that and move with those interactions and learn how to dance with that rather than like just holding tight and being rigid. And that's one of the things we as parents, we can't actually let our children see our feelings get hurt. I know with men especially, you know, especially sadness, you know, it's like, oh, you know, can't let anybody,
right.
really. It's
right.
not probably just kids. It's like, can't let anybody see you cry.
Right. Well, men don't cry. They weep.
Oh, is that what they do?
Right.
I didn't know that. So what's the difference?
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
There is a difference.
All right. Do you let your kids see you cry or weep?
Right. Yeah, emotional experience, and probably the most recent one that still chokes me up was we had lost a family pet.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was, you know, it was one one particular, you know, one of the girls' pet, personal pet, that was, you know, really affected us all, and
yeah.
I wanted her to know that it was a pain we all felt.
So. Right.
And, you know, that kind of emotion you can't hide.
You
either.
Let them, I mean, you let her see it.
Yeah, you can't hide that kind of emotion. You're not fooling anyone.
Right,
I think.
right.
Really, if you try.
But there's such a beauty when you share, you know, a loss like that,
right.
When you share it, and rather than being stoic and holding it all inside, mm-hmm. when you let your children see that, and then there's a feeling of togetherness that you're sharing that experience, that you're sharing that pain, you know? And pain is really and sadness, you know, loss, it's a beautiful feeling. I mean, it taps you into how deeply you love, you know?
Right.
And when you love, you know, there's going to be some experience of loss along the way. But, you know, the only option is you don't love. And then how dull and mm-hmm. dry, really, that would be.
and thinking more on it, that in which that our children need to learn everything from us, from table manners to how to accept grief and how to act
and anger and
all of the emotions, right? And if they see the adults acting in a hypocritical manner or something that doesn't seem natural, or they're hiding emotions, then that's a terrible lesson, I think, for children to learn, because then they don't know how to handle it themselves,
right,
when
exactly.
they grow up.
And kids are really energy sensitive. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be saying with your words, I'm fine, everything's fine, you
right,
know, but if
fine,
what
but
they're picking up on a feeling level is I'm falling apart mm-hmm. or I'm overwhelmed or whatever, I think that it's really, it's certainly more honest.
Right.
And I always go towards the honesty route. The honesty, I find, is a healing, is key to healing. And so if we can be honest with ourselves first about how we're feeling, and then extend that honesty to others, it's a powerful thing.
Mm.
It's a powerful thing. One of the things that I have found when I'm working with parts of myself that have been hurt,
mm-hmm.
is to not worry about why something happened, trying to mm-hmm. explain the experience, or try to, if I'm having a dialogue with say my, you know, 6-year old that got hurt, you know, because
mm-hmm.
she peed in her pants at a party and she felt absolute shame about
right.
that, right?
Oh gosh, yeah.
So
the world.
I remember that happening. It was the end of that relationship. I could never face. She was my best friend too,
oh,
and I
no.
could like never face her again. It was
so sad.
Humiliating. And so, so rather than asking the question, "Why do you feel upset?" right? I've learned that asking the question, not even after this question, but can you just describe your experience to me?
Right.
You know, what is the experience? Describe it. And kids are good at that. They
can be,
you know, and a lot of times it's not necessarily words, just like, that's how I feel, you know?
What happened?
And,
right.
you know, it's like, okay, cool. You get information from their body language,
mm-hmm.
from, and so that's one of the things, being a movement therapist, that it really intrigues me, and that I've really been with and paid attention to, is how does my body feel?
Mm-hmm.
Because really our bodies don't lie. And when we are scared, you feel it in your body, and you may be going like, why am I scared, or what am I scared about, or whatever. You know, you may not know why, you may not know what, but you know you're scared because
right.
your body is giving you those signals. You're tensing up, you know, your breath is coming really short and shallow, you know, whatever it is. You don't need to know why that is. Just go, wow, I'm feeling scared right now, you know, and be with that, and not try to change it. You know, just to receive it and let that move. And sometimes, you know, just let it move through your body, where I encourage, you know, my clients and myself when I'm doing, you know, my own inner therapy, is to just let it move through your body.
right.
and shake it out or move it or, you know, make the sound or whatever. Don't worry so much about explaining or, or just, you know, putting it into words. Be with those. Because our first language really is movement.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's so true. And first interaction with the world, of course.
Too. Yeah. We're moving in the womb, you know, before we ever, you know, actually come out here. Every mom can vouch for that, right. Pregnant woman can vouch for that. Right. So, another thing I found is that we tense in the face of judgment, right?
Right.
And that we relax in the presence of love.
True.
And so if we can give ourselves that and then learn to give ourselves that and then to be able to extend that that love to others and watch when we're judging ourselves and when we're judging mm-hmm. others, you know, blame is one of those adult ways that we go into that judgment mode, mm-hmm. you know. And so when we're blaming another for our experience or whatever, we're just getting caught up in... a pattern that kind of goes nowhere. You know, it tears us apart from the person that we're blaming. It's really a rather disempowering experience for ourselves, because if it's all somebody else's fault, then what we're powerless to do anything about the situation, right? And what fun
Certainly.
Is that? You know, that's so that's one of the things that I've in my healing process has been really key is watching myself when I go into blame mode and just stopping, because sometimes that part of me and Eckhart Tolle talks about it being the pain body and I've seen that in myself, that it, you know, it can just get going and it doesn't want to stop. It doesn't, you know, it gets angry. There's a part of us that can get angry and then just keep feeding on that anger.
Right.
You know? And when I first started working with that, the first time after reading Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, where mm-hmm. he introduces that concept of the pain body, the first time I got really angry after reading it, I was like, oh my gosh, I was like completely shocked to see that he was right. This part of me did not want to resolve the situation. This part of me wanted to just keep on getting angry.
Right.
You know? And the only thing that I could do in that situation was to step back and to get away from the person that I was angry at the moment. Yeah. And I was just like, I just need to go for a walk and be outside, because I'm going to just keep on doing this if I... You know, it's kind of like what we were talking on the last show with when you're feeling stressed and keep on going in the same direction, you're just going to increase your
stress.
And so sometimes the best thing to do is just to take space, to take a step back from whatever it is, especially when we're in anger or blame mode, you know, and also let it out through movement and sound. Because if we're putting all that anger into words... We can really wound people with our words.
Yeah.
You know, we can wound people with our words in ways that last, you know, a long, long time. Whereas if we just, you know, scream into a pillow or something, let the sound out, or, you know, when my son was young, sometimes we would just, you know, I remember one time saying to him, I am so angry with you, I want to hit you, you know? And he's like, you know? And so we went into his room and we both just like punched pillows until we were laughing, you know? And you just get it out of your experience and out of your body, and then you can see what's underneath there. And, you know, sometimes you don't get angry unless you care, you know? And so usually underneath there is something that is a value that we're needing to honor and be with. So I think I was gonna sing a song that's actually called Healing. I guess one of the things about this song that this song pointed out to me is that one of the things that is healing also is beauty. And so when we are feeling pain, to to breathe in the beauty. And that's the first line of the song, breathe in the healing beauty, breathe on out the pain. And so we're going to sing this with our guitars. And Jerry's going to sing with me.
You can check the level on her strum a little bit more.
Oh.
Very good. That'll work.
That's good.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm playing with this song, just for any musicians out there, I'm playing this with a shortcut capo, so it's an open tuning, which I really love the sound. You see, it just has a different sound. I'll play yours, Jer. Just play it open. When you play with an open tuning, it's already a chord, and it has, I don't know, just a really beautiful sound to it that I love. And the song in the intro is also with the same open tuning. So, but this one is called Healing. Ready? Can we close that door? I keep on hearing. I'm hearing our neighbors here are doing some sort of.
We've got great neighbors here.
What is it? We've got
some metal workers on one side,
yes.
And they're
hearing.
welding grinding and all that sort of stuff. I was wondering what that was. I thought that was feedback.
Oh,
but that makes
okay.
sense now.
That's,
that what I was trying
welding.
To I was trying to edit it out. It was not going away.
It was not working.
All right.
That's funny. Okay, so without that annoying feedback, let's. Let's sing the song. It's called Healing.
Design and it is
sunshine, yes it is. I love that is helping it shine.
You're listening to A Shared Journey on KSKQ LP 94.9 FM with Malaya and friends.
That was Jerry singing here there with me.
Are the guitars down so I can unplug?
Oh, yeah. We're right. At the levels all down.
You know, that just, little wrong note at the end there with the solo made me. Was that just me that heard a wrong note?
Hit the wrong string there.
Yeah. So that just reminded me of something that a big thing in the healing process is to forgive yourself for making mistakes. And I remember when I first started playing guitar. It was like super trauma if I made mistakes, right? And I remember Jerry and I, one of our first concerts that we did together. A B minor is a bar chord, which is kind of a hard chord to do, and so I was not very good at them, and I completely.
I was actually playing a solo at the time. Usually, if I'm playing along, it covers misses a chord. So.
Right, but I was so embarrassed that I made this horrible sound in this concert, right, and I was angry at Jerry for not covering it for me on this right. mistake, right? I mean, he was supposed to be playing his solo probably anyways, but anger isn't always logical. Mm-hmm. And it kind of affected the whole night. Ooh. You know, I was upset the whole night. Amazing. You know, from that one mistake that happened right at the beginning. And one of the things I've discovered over years of performing and playing is that mistakes you can actually help bring you closer to the audience.
Mistakes?
Mm. Oh, totally. And the audience closer to the performer.
Yeah, because they're an opportunity to laugh. It's kind of like, it's like, oops,
I could do that.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, the audience is like, oh, they're not perfect. I think it's helpful to be pretty clean at the beginning. But, as time goes on, you can kind of get away with making a few mistakes and the audience is relaxed by then. But just that whole process of I think as we become more comfortable with ourselves, we're more forgiving of our mistakes and really understanding that we do, we learn from our, whatever mistakes it are, we learn from them, from the mistakes as much as we do from, doing a great job at something,
I'm sure
part of life.
Some musicians that would use that as an opportunity to explore some other area, musically, if they started to play a wrong note, they might change keys and go do something completely different, improvise.
Right, it could, bring you on. Yeah, and with like pottery and painting and things, I've learned that sometimes the things that you think are the worst mistakes, one of your bowls, collapses or somebody gets deformed or something. I remember when the first times that happened to me, I'm not a good potter. Jerry is the potter in the group, but he drags me along every so often. And that happened to me where it either got pushed in or somebody pushed it in or something, got bumped. And I actually just went ahead and just deformed the bowl. And it's one of my favorite pieces, And
turned like a round bowl into like a little bit rectangular on the top or something.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. And yet in the moment, it was like, oh, man, that's... bummer.
Terrible.
That's But then you realize, oh, those can inspire creative moments that wouldn't have otherwise happened. And I think the more comfortable you get with whatever it is you're doing in life, that the more comfortable you are with mistakes. And in new situations, it's a little bit harder. But when you're feeling comfortable in a situation, it's like you can kind of roll with that.
Right.
And I think that's part of the gift and the beauty of growing up. You know, when you're a kid, everything is new, you know. Whereas when you're grown up, you can develop some of that grace of...
My kid would say, I meant to do that.
Right. That's true. All right. Do you need to do
a quick ID here? Just to remind folks they're listening to KSKQ LP 94.9 FM, Ashland, Oregon, Community Radio, and a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. And this is a shared journey.
All right.
We're all sharing it together.
Okay. So in that song that we just sang, weaving was one of the themes in that. Can't remember the words now because they're not in front of me, but weaving with life again, weaving, you know, with life's design. And that's one of the themes or the images that has really emerged through my healing process. When we feel like we're weaving with life, we're moving with life, it's a really joyful experience, you know. And so to look at, you know, how do we view our relationship with life? You know, do we view ourselves as do we experience ourselves as separate from life, separate from each other, separate, you know? And on some level, we are. You know, you're in a body that's different than my body. You know, on a physical level, we are, you know, unique individuals. But there's also a level where... And I would say that's where the heart comes in, and that's where love comes in, you know, where there's an experience of oneness. And it's not just a, you know, a cliche thing. It's actually an experience. You know, when I'm with the earth sometimes, you know, it's just I feel that love, and I feel one in that love with her, you know. And did you want to say something, Jason?
No, okay. I'm just agreeing.
Okay. And so that's one of the things that has been really core in my healing process, is to look at those parts of myself that believe that I am separate from life, from inner guidance, from love, that feel all alone in that way. And that's a hard thing to look at, actually, because to really come face to face with the belief that you are all alone and you know, it's a scary world when you actually look at that, you know. It's like, oh wow. And I think that's sometimes why we hold on to things to help us feel safe.
So are you actually saying that you have to look at that part before you can see something deeper, or
I think looking at that belief in separation, that's been, and I just see it come up in my life, you know, again and again. That's the basic belief that I'm healing, is that feeling of separation from really my own essence, which is also my experience, is also the essence of life and the essence of love. And so, and part of that idea of separation, part of the way that gets played out in our experience of life, is that there's this idea of child being separate from adult.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that when we can integrate that, so that, you know, yes, we are all of us in this room, the three of us in this radio station here today, we're all grown-ups, but that doesn't mean that we're completely cut off from the child part of us.
Right.
And that, you know, that I can not only look through the eyes of a woman, but I also can look through the eyes of a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a beautiful beautiful view and beautiful perspective. And so one of the ways that I explore that that view, get to know that view, is through journaling. And so I will dialogue if there's a part of myself. Well, really, when new things are happening in my life, especially, I will check in with how my younger self feels about these new things. And so I'm going to read a conversation, a dialogue that I have had, that I had just recently. Actually, about having my little girls on share on radio, have that part of me come forward. And specifically, I was asking how they felt about singing on radio. And you'll see that initially, that was a bit of a scary thought, but it continues to unfold. The show. The last show that we did was the debut of them singing on radio, and so I needed to again talk to them this morning, have a little bit of a journaling this morning to say, okay, so are you guys up for this? You know, how do you feel about this? And but this dialogue that I'm going to share here is from a couple I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I think it was.
Very good.
For me, different ages have different perspectives. Like my preschooler has, you know, is a different perspective than my grade schooler, right? Mm-hmm. They, you know, just like your 4-year-old views life differently than your, you know,
10-year-old
or your teenager or whatever, right? And so they each have kind of their own voice and their own name, actually, too. So the first part of myself that I will talk with she calls herself Rainey. And when I was first started dialoguing with her, you know, I used to do like with a left hand or my non-dominant hand that I would journal, right? And that helped me tune in into it. And so when I don't do that anymore. I do it all with my right hand, but that's how I did it when I began. That was really helpful for me. You know, I was calling her my childhood name, which was actually Maeve, which you will hear her voice in here as well. Right. And she said, "That's not my name." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Oh. Well, what is your name then?" You know, and she says, "It's Rainey, R-A-I-N-E-E, two E's." Like, okay, nice. Cool. And to me, she has a spark, you know, so the spark of fire, the spark of light. She's kind of like that strength of winter, you know, we're like, energy. And then a little bit older part of me has more like the softness of spring. And so that beauty and softness that we see in spring, she kind of embodies that energy more. So this is a dialogue that I had with Rainey, then the older, a little bit older part of we call little M, and then Maeve is the part of me that kind of had to, you know, didn't get a hide away in little fantasy world or anything like some of the other parts of me did. And, you know, kind of just had to go to school every day, and, you know, she has a little bit more of a practical approach to life. And so here is a dialogue with all of us, and hopefully it won't be too confusing for you.
Okay.
So I begin by asking the question to Rainey, "So, sweetie, how do you feel about sharing on radio?" And she says, "Scary. People will think it's too strange. It's one thing for you to sing and share. It's totally another for me. I still feel nervous about being seen or heard by other people. People will think we're weird. It's too risky." "I hear you, and I'm willing to take it slowly. I also feel like being willing to share your voice and energy and perspective is an important part of the gift we have to share. I want you there with me. That's part of what this is about. I had to go through a pretty major wall of fear with Mavy before doing the first radio show. Mavy, what do you see? I understand why Rainey is hesitant. Sharing in this way is new, not just for us, but for radio, for people. Things have been real boxy without a lot of interplay and honesty. Here we come along and weave it all together. We weave together singing and talking. We weave together child and grown up. People are not used to that. People are used to an outside-in approach, where things are separated into boxes in our mind. From the inside, it's all there moving together. Well, what do you think about singing a Rainey or Little M song? I think it'd be sweet. It'd have flavor and spice. You'd weave together more strands of energy, so you'd get a sense of the wholeness. The wholeness is from the inside, and their energy fills it out. Without the child, the inner light is pale. Rainey, what do you think? I'm a firecracker. I'm probably too bright. Maybe we should start with Little M. Mm-hmm. Well, Little M, how about you? Rainey's not too bright. She's funny. I can share too, but without her initial zing, it wouldn't be quite right. She provides the spark that starts the weave. Without her light, it's all kind of dim. I would be weak, not sweet and flowing. That's what happened when we were young and her brightness was gone. I felt weak and overwhelmed. The light within carries the beauty forward. It allows it to move with ease and guides the way. Life begins with the light within. Rainey has that spark of life. She'll help remind people. I hear you. Rainey, what do you think now? You guys talk like I'm important or something, like I'm necessary, not annoying or too loud. Well, you do like to be loud, but it's funny and fun, not annoying. I can't help being loud. Life's exciting. We know it is for you, and we like that about you. We accept it totally. You do? Yeah, we do. Mom, how about you? Do you like me too? And here when she's saying Mom, she's referring to me. So I say, I love you, sweetie. It goes far beyond liking. I love you. And like me? And like you, yes. Maybe I'll sing. I don't know. It's one thing to be liked by you all. It's another thing altogether for other people to hear me. Strangers. It might be healing, though. I want to do this radio thing with you. You do? I do. It wouldn't be the same without you. You're a big part of the returning to wholeness. Me? Of course. Didn't you know? Well, not really. I still feel a little alone. Well, you heard what Little M said about you being the spark that lights up the weave. Yeah. So they like me? They like you, and they honor your place. I'm necessary? Wanted? Needed even? All of those. I'm feeling love here now. Maybe it'll soothe the fear, relax my chest and belly. That'd be nice. I was so scared about being accepted by others, I forgot about love and was afraid it wasn't there. But it is. If you look for the thread of love, you'll find it. We feel joy when we weave with it and fear when we don't. I weave with it. It's more fun that way. We can relax there. There's more space. It's not tense. It's soothing and filled with joy. Cool. So we'll just see how it all unfolds. We'll follow the weave. Sounds good. Anything else from anybody? We rest. And then I rested for a few moments or a few minutes, and then the last thing that came through was, the thing is to be with love. It's not something you give or receive. It's something you share with other people sometimes, with life all the time. Wherever we are, love is.
All right. That's so sweet. wise children there.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I've been amazed at is that their level of wisdom. And I get to see things through their eyes that I just couldn't see through the adult's eyes that I've taken on. So they really definitely helped me remember my wholeness and how it feels to be really honest and present. So they're kind of my teachers in in really being present, being here, you know, with what is right now.
Are you going to let Rainey sing, actually?
Well, I'm going to actually close with a song. I'm actually going to close with a song that was kind of a co-creation with my girls. And in the last show, actually, the girls sang quite a bit. So you can catch that one on
the archives
mm-hmm. Within a day or two.
KSKQ.org, just click on archives and they'll be there.
Yeah.
Under shared journey.
And for this one, this song that I'm going to do is a little bit of a co-creation. I think you'll feel some of their essence as well as the woman within.
Nice.
Goes like this. I'm discovering who I am right now and exploring who I've been along the way, how it's shaped the world I live in today and the one I long to live in, the one I long to be. I'm discovering who I am right now and exploring who I've been along the way, how it shaped the world I live in today and the one I long to live in, the one I long to be. And I love that about my relationship with them, is really it does feel like a discovering of who I am, that it's a process, you know, it's mm-hmm. not, it's, and that who I have been and been, what has led up to this moment does help shape, and who I am does help shape the world I live in, you know, my experience of the world, and to realize that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Sent that sense of co-creation and shaping our world. It's lovely.
Thank you. Before we go, maybe you might want to plug our other website.
Folks find out more about you, and we want to hear more.
I have a couple websites. One is www.our4elements.com. r4elements.com, and the other one is called a-share-journey.com. And so there are some that's definitely a website in progress. There are a few readings and songs on that,
And on the other R4 Elements, there's some of your work with a couple of books that you've written.
Yeah.
And also some original music that we've recorded.
Yeah, so you can, if anything interests you, you can find out more.
Yeah,
and come and join us again, too, on Sundays at
1 p.m.
At 1 is the consistent time that we'll be here.
Right, thank you. We'll get that on the schedule for everyone there. Wonderful. Thank you, Malaya, and
thank
Jerry,
you, Jason.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Shared Journey on KSKQ.
Thank you.
Mix down. Let's play this sort of song.